Welcome to the Legal Slant podcast, hosted by me, Jessica Jaramillo, and Vanessa Petrie. In each episode, we interview legal marketing professionals and leaders who are making an impact in our industry. We also spotlight the unique challenges legal marketers face and how to avoid burnout and even thrive. We are passionate about bringing the legal marketing community together to provide wisdom, humor, camaraderie, and life hacks. Working in this industry requires a lot of grit and plenty of grace. So join us every other week as we take on tough topics with levity and humor.
Hello, everyone. Today we are speaking with Morgan Horvitz. And so if you don't know Morgan, she is the Chief Client Relations and Business Development Officer at Galloway, which is a Gulf South-based litigation firm. So think Houston, New Orleans, that area of the Gulf. She has more than 19 years of progressive experience in business development, client relations, and integrated marketing communications, with 14 years working with law firms ranging from the Am Law 100 to practice-specific boutiques. Morgan has also served in numerous LMA leadership roles, including serving as the 2019 president of the LMA Southwest Board of Directors. Morgan, welcome to the Legal Slant.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us, Morgan. So that's quite an impressive bio. As is true with all of our guests, we want to ask you to tell us something fun about yourself that's not in your bio.
I spent the first 4 years after college working in radio and television, where I was a DJ on a couple of radio stations in Oklahoma City, and then did some on-air work and marketing in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I also know you to be a stellar Broadway and karaoke singer. True story.
I have witnessed this.
True story. I once did a duet with Morgan. Jessica, you missed this. Morgan and I, yes, we did a duet to Adele. And epic.
It was.
Well, I bet it was epic.
I'm glad that's your recollection. I do remember the karaoke host saying, "Wow, y'all are so passionate." Pretty fun.
That was fun. No,
I spent it down the line, huh?
Yeah, I spent actually all of high school and the first half of college studying musical theater before I found my love of broadcast journalism, and then that somehow led to legal marketing.
How did that lead to legal marketing?
Now, tell us about your journey into legal marketing.
Yeah, tell us your story. This...
So
musical theater turned.
Right, musical theater. I ended up taking one class in college where I was on air on the televised radio station as a VJ. And after that one semester, it was like, this is it. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. Changed my major. Worked in TV and radio for a while, just on the on-air side. And then thought, I need to make a little bit more money. So I got my foot in the door on the television side in Tulsa as a marketing coordinator for the Fox and UPN at the time stations, like the local stations. And really, really enjoyed the marketing side. But then I was working crazy hours all the time, like 70 hours a week, never slept. And my mom was still helping with my rent. So I decided to take a step back. I was like, I'm 24 and I'm exhausted. That's not good. So I decided to go to grad school. And so I moved to Boston, moved everything over to Boston, didn't know anyone, started grad school, worked work study for a year. And then I was like, I really can have a job while I'm doing this. But I don't know anyone in Boston, but I knew I was looking for a full-time job. So my dad was actually in legal marketing. And I called him and I said, Dad, do you know anyone like who might know something about a job? I don't know who to call. And he hooked me up from his connections through his LMA network with a man named Stuart Hirsch, who is a consultant out of Boston, who then connected me with other people that he knew from LMA. I met Sarah Crocker, who was at the time the business development and marketing director at Wolf Greenfield, and with Jim Durham, who was at that time the CMO of Ropes and Gray. And I had some informational interviews with them. And then Sarah hired me 2 weeks later, Jim Durham called me, but I already had a job. So it was lovely. It was a wonderful, I got benefits from LMA before I even started my career.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Do you think there is another father-daughter legacy LMAer out there? We need to know if you are out there. Otherwise, Morgan, you and your father hold that very dear. That is an interesting legacy.
So now fast forward 19 years, and you're the chief client relations and business development officer at a firm. How did you get that role? Can you talk to us about that journey and what that transition has been like going from manager to chief?
It has been an interesting transition, especially because the transition happened 3 weeks before everyone went home with the COVID-19 pandemic. But transitioning, I mean, throughout my career, I had the title of manager for over a decade, like working from one job with increasing responsibilities, but with kind of the same title, but ended up with larger and larger teams and larger groups of attorneys that I was working with. And my last job at Jackson Lewis, I was the manager of business development for the litigation group, which was 600 plus attorneys. So we had an intricate team of resources that I worked with to help and support them. And I just kind of looked at that job and I said, this is wonderful, but I would love to take all the information and skills that I've learned in the last, 12 years working at larger firms and bring that back to a firm that I can really wrap my arms around and really help impact the bottom line and create a culture that is open to business development. And that was kind of my goal. And I wasn't really looking because I wasn't at Jackson Lewis for that long, but I was open to jobs that would do specifically that. And so this one came up. It was based in New Orleans, but I saw that the firm had an office in Houston, and it was a substantial office. And I said, I bet if they like me, they'll let me work out of the Houston office. And so I worked with the recruiter and then ended up meeting with every single one of the shareholders, who are all incredibly lovely, either in person or through video conference in New Orleans. And then in Houston, I went to the Houston office and the New Orleans office. And everyone was lovely. And it was a long process. The firm wasn't sure what they were looking for. It was a new position for them to have a CMO. And I hadn't been a CMO before. So it was, but we matched up, and I think our goals aligned and our visions aligned for what we want the next 2 or 3 years to look like. So we both went for it. And here I am. I got there and had my 90 days lined out. I read one of my favorite books, The Mastering the Rockefeller Habits, and You're in Charge, So Now What? And I had my plans laid out, and I was very detailed. And I was there for 3 weeks. I got one trip in to the New Orleans office to meet with the shareholders there. And I had trips to Florida and Mobile, Alabama, and other places lined up, and had to cancel all of them after we went home. And got to focus on website crisis communications and team building right now. While I'm still meeting the lawyers on the phone and via video conference, I am looking forward to being able to schedule those in-person meetings.
It sounds like the ultimate pivot. Hello, Robin.
I'm
going to do this virtually.
Yeah.
And you were certainly thrown into the deep end of the pool right at the outset for a chief role. So that is very exciting. And for those of us, I would put myself in this category that have career aspirations of becoming a chief. It sounds very exciting that you were able to parlay your manager role, which to me sounds like a director role, if I'm just going to be honest. I don't know if you had directors over you at that firm where you had 600 lawyers under you, but I think a lot of firms would classify that role as almost a director level, and because you have support people underneath you. But that is encouraging, because I've also been a manager more than 10 years, and the typical career ladder says that I have to now be a director for 5 years, and then I can apply for a chief role. So it's just encouraging to hear and that you're not overwhelmed, and that your experience at the previous roles have prepared you for what you're doing today.
Yeah, I mean, and I have a great team. I have an incredible managing partner, which is very helpful, who's very supportive and very easy to work with and talk to. And the team of people that I have in place that I got really lucky.
And how many lawyers are at your firm, just to give our listeners some perspective?
About 125. So it's a lot
perfect size. No, but I think, I don't know about you, Jessica, but I don't want to be a chief of a law firm more than 300 lawyers. I just feel like it starts to become very challenging.
Well, it starts to, you have to start evaluating what you want your life to look like at some point, right? The job and becomes much different after you hit a certain number of attorneys. So that's always a consideration in making a transition. So Morgan, I want to ask you, in all of this, I know you to be a very team-focused person. So can you talk with us and share with our listeners a little bit about how you worked in some of that team building and getting to know your team, given that you had 3 weeks at a job and then everybody went home and is working remotely?
Right. So my team, I have three people and I have three coordinators. One coordinator is in the Houston office with me, but now not with me. And then two are in New Orleans. And I had a chance to meet with everyone. But some of the things that we've put into place before even we were all sent home was a daily scrum meeting, similar to what you would find at a software company. We get on the phone every single morning for 10 or 15 minutes tops. And everyone goes around, we go around the room and everyone says, what did they finish yesterday? What are they working on today? And what are their obstacles? Or we call them rocks. And then we help each other throw the rocks and get rid of the obstacles. And then that also gives me an opportunity, if I've heard any news or any, you know, RFP wins or different firm news, I have the opportunity then to share that as well. And we have a longer meeting on Mondays to kind of strategize and talk more about what we want the week to look like, go down everyone's lists for the week and any longer term projects that we're working on, so we can retool and figure out if we need to share any of the projects with other people. So having those kind of daily, very short meetings and the longer meeting on Monday has been really useful. Another thing I've done to try to encourage the team to like do something fun together is we all got Fitbits. And we're doing weekly step or active minutes challenges. Some of my team members prefer active minutes because they're bike riders. Others prefer steps because doing laundry should count too. we mix it up so we have a different winner every week.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds super fun. And one more thing I wanted to just point out to our listeners, because it was interesting to me, is that when you saw the position, which I remember when this position was posted, it was posted for New Orleans. And you said, well, I see they have a Houston office. I'm going to go for it and see if I can convince them that I'm the right candidate and this job can be done in Houston. We now all know that we can work from the moon if needed. But I'm so proud of you and just want to congratulate you for putting yourself out there. And because there's a lot of folks, and I mentor people that say, oh, well, that job says it's in Austin, but I want to be in Houston, or vice versa. Or that job says a manager and I really need that senior manager title or whatever. And to just, sometimes you got to go for it and then negotiate as you convince them that you would be a valued asset to the team.
Got to say yes to those things you don't think that you can do.
Yes.
Quoting one of our very good friends, Jen Bankston.
That Marine Commandant that mentored Jen Bankston, who now we've decided is our mentor as well.
Yes, we've adopted him.
Yes. All right. Well, I noticed in your bio that you had a role that was very interesting to me, being in Austin, that you supported a Texas regional role for a firm, a global firm, but you had like a Texas regional focus. So I want you to talk to us about that role and what you liked about it and what tips you might give others that are in kind of a regional role right now.
So that was an interesting role. I went to Evershed Sutherland. At the time, it was Sutherland, Asbel, and Brennan. And I came in to their Houston office right as they were wrapping up working on the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. And they had upped their staff, gotten extra floors of the building. They had a ton of attorneys that they'd had to bring in because they'd been working on the case for a number of years and it was eating up all of their bandwidth plus more. And they came back and they came back from New Orleans. They trickled on back and that had been their focus for years. And they said, okay, well, now what? Like, we had just opened our Texas satellite office or our Houston satellite office right before the oil spill. So the community doesn't know our brand because we didn't have time to go out and network and do all the things. The community doesn't know our brand and we don't have a lot of clients aside from the big client that we've been working on. And they were faced with the challenge of how do we grow our name recognition and our brand in the community? And how do we leverage the work that we've done on Deepwater Horizon to go out and build a practice for the firm so we can maintain all these jobs. So I got to work with them and do kind of speaking tours all over at various oil companies and drilling companies and insurance companies and all sorts of places. So I really got to help the attorneys build up a speaking program and circuit with all of the energy companies and drilling companies and insurance companies in the Houston area to help them grow their name. And I did that using particular, you know, organizations and then also just helping them delve into their contacts that they had and looking at their, you know, their Rolodexes, if you will use an old school term, and make contacts and coaching them to ask, hey, can we come in and do a lunch and learn for you? Hey, I know you're not using us right now, but we've just had this very unique experience. And I think that your in-house legal team would really benefit from hearing about it.
What a fun challenge.
Yeah. Did you get to help kind of write out the plan for growing Texas then?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's fun. And I remember when they came to Austin because several of our Andrews Kurth lawyers left Andrews Kurth. And I remember being like, where are you going? I've never heard of this firm. Yeah. So that's pretty exciting. And I'm sure has helped you, as you, you know, gone along in your career to fall back on that. So just to follow back up, I have several friends that are in roles that are like this. A lot of them involve events, like what you were saying, like speaking roles and just probably association, trade associations, that kind of thing. But what advice would you give to folks that are in these regional roles now where it's hard to host events. It's hard to do things right now. Is it all sales pipeline stuff? Like what would you recommend to folks that are maybe focused on a specific, and you probably are somewhat focused on the Gulf region, it would be my guess. So you might be doing some of this now.
I think really just focusing on communicating with clients, this is a great time, I think, to contact as many people as you can, clients, prospects, referral sources on a regular basis, just to check in on a human level. Maybe it's not the best time to start selling to someone that's not currently a client, but it's a great time just to communicate as a human with people and to connect. And I know at my firm, I've been coaching the lawyers to do that. And I've gotten back pictures of some of our clients and prospects, dogs and cats. And my attorneys have said they've seen videos of kids and they're just really taking a time to create a personal connection, which when everything settles down a bit, I think will be very, very useful in moving forward. Just to have more connections, to have human connections with the people that we do business with, because as we all know, people hire people that they want to work with. People want to surround themselves with people that think like they do.
Yeah, that's good.
To quote Simon Sinek.
We're starting with the why. We get it.
I love that.
All right. So Morgan, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about your work from home routine. What does that look like in the morning? How do you plan out your day around, you know, all the things you have going on? I know we're working from home. You have a family. So what does that routine look like?
So I'm a really early riser. So I like to get up early and I go for a walk. Sometimes it's 10 minutes, sometimes it's an hour, depending on how stressed out I am, if I need to come home and focus on something. Because I walk and think. I don't put music on. I walk and around my neighborhood. And if I think too hard and think that I need to come home and write an email, then I'll just do that. But I try to get in an hour in the morning. And then I come home. I go through my email until I'm kind of settled and I know that my email is good. And then I'll go take a shower. And then I come back and I have my to-do list that I've written down the night before. And I just start tackling things until other meetings come up or phone calls happen or interruptions happen, which is perfectly fine. And, you know, everyone has to be flexible right now. No one gets to spend their entire day doing exactly what they thought they would. Well, I think that's ever.
Right.
And then lunchtime, my husband and I try to stop for lunch at the same time. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. Then I'll work till about 4:30 or 5 and make my to-do list for the next day. I'm old school. I use a notebook.
Yeah, tell everybody about your notebook, because you're very particular about your notebook.
I'm very anti-handwriting to-do list, but I'm willing to hear you out, Morgan.
So I use a notebook that has a place to put the date on the top and has a place to put bullet points on the side. I use DesignWorks Inc.'s notebooks. I'm really, really particular about my notebooks. And it has to be bigger than the regular one. It's like, it's not 8x11. I think it's like 10x7 or something. It's larger than the normal small notebook that or regular size notebooks that you see in the stores. On the left column, I put my to-do list every day and I update it every day. And then I highlight things as I finish them. And then on the right-hand column, I write out notes about things that I have to do. Notes that are going to go back out to attorneys I do via on my computer or via Outlook, usually within an email, so it's easier to send and maintain. But notes of things that I know that I need to make a mental note, I have to do this later, I'll go into my notebook. And then at the end of the day, I look through what I've accomplished, what I've written down that I need to take care of, and I do my prioritized to-do list for the next day. And that's the last thing I do before I go. So I feel comfortable like putting it down. Like I know that I'm going to start in the morning with my list of things that's been reprioritized and I can comfortably walk away except for checking email.
I love it.
And then I go back after my son goes to sleep in the evening and answer all the email. And if there's any projects that I feel like need some more attention, I go back to them. But I try to put it down at least right now and focus on family.
How old is your son?
He will turn 3 in July. So he's a
busy.
He's busy and feisty. Can a boy be feisty?
Yes.
So changing gears just a little bit, you seem to be involved in LMA at every level, which I love. This is how I got to know you and love you. We loved our time working together. Talk to us about why you love being involved in LMA.
So as I said before, I benefited from LMA's network before I even started my career, which has been, and LMA has just been very, very special to me. The things I love about LMA are the people I get to meet, like both of you in various, you know, stages. I think, Vanessa, we met in the Texas chapter.
I think that's right. Yes. So we probably would not have met had we not had our paths crossed during that Texas chapter experience. Yeah.
And then Jessica, you and I were on the LMA Southwest board together.
Yeah.
Yes.
So just the friendships that I've made have been some of the most important friendships, I think, to me in my life, just, you know, career wise and, you know, just for fun. Like some of my best friends are people that I've met through LMA. And also just to have the opportunity to encourage people to get involved to get out of LMA what I have, I think is really what motivates me. It's just between the friendships and the networking and the learning, I've just gotten so much from LMA. I'm very passionate about helping people find that for themselves as well.
Can you do a rundown of all the task forces and roles you had in LMA? Is that even possible?
Like Vanessa, we might not have enough time for that.
Challenge accepted or?
Okay, yes. No, I've got this. So in the Houston City Group, I served on this as like the programming person and then just a city group core team member for a couple of years. And then I was the Houston City Group chair for 1.5 years because I had I was the chair elect and then the current chair had left the industry for a while. So I took over for her. So I did that for 1.5 years. And then I was the treasurer and then the secretary for the Texas chapter, and then came in as the first treasurer for the LMA Southwest Board, followed by president-elect, president, and now immediate past president. And then while I was the president, I also had the opportunity to serve as the liaison to the International Finance Committee. So I got to be a member of the Finance Committee. And then I'm also on the currently on the Talent Development Committee. And then for task forces, I've been able to, through the work with the Finance Committee and others, I was on the Regional Finance Task Force. And then also part of the Regional Onboarding Task Force.
That's a lot. Is that enough? That seems like a lot.
That's all.
That's it. Okay.
All right, Morgan, we're moving into the fun part of our time with you today. This is our rapid fire segment, and Vanessa, queen of all fun things, is going to take us through.
Yes. Are you ready?
I believe so.
All right. Don't think too much. Hopefully these will be quick answer questions. All right, here we go. What was your last Amazon package delivered to you?
Makeup.
What are your go-to thought leadership resources?
I watch a lot of TED Talks. I recently watched one by Laura Sokola on You Want to Sound Like a Leader? Start by saying your name correctly.
I love it. I do that a lot for people because it's not Petraea, it's Petrie. That's awesome. I love TED Talks as well. We're big fans. What are some words or phrases you never want to hear again in light of this COVID mess?
Definitely unprecedented is like it doesn't even mean anything anymore. Like, just stop.
It's a cliche, right? Retire it. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Anything, navigating anything. Like, we're not in the ocean, people. We're in our houses.
I really like the word navigate. Personally, but I get it.
I like the word navigate.
It's overused a bit. All right. So when this is all behind us, what is the first thing you're going to do?
I'm going to get a manicure and then I'm going to go visit all of my attorneys. I would like to meet them.
Good. What was your very first job?
My very first job, I was a waitress at Johnny Rockets. Wow. The hamburger store in the mall.
I didn't know that.
And I was the dance captain. So I was in charge of teaching everyone the dances.
Were they on roller skates?
No. Okay. But we sang into ketchup bottles and we wore soda jerk outfits.
Did you sing or did you lip sync?
I sing. I mean, I don't know what everyone else is doing.
Of course you did. All right. What was your first concert?
My first concert was the Violent Femmes and the B-52s.
Oh, we could have been friends in high school, Morgan. Okay. What are you binge watching? We know that you like your shows and we need new shows.
I've been binge watching a terrible teeny bopper show called The Magicians. It's amazing. It's about this group of like grad school age children who all realize that they can do magic. And then they get this secret invitation to like a magic school, but it's not like Harry Potter. They're real people.
I think my 12-year-old daughter might be watching that show. Yes, I'm going to check.
Probably.
If she's not, she should be. It sounds like.
It's a great escape.
All right. What was your favorite TV show growing up?
So we didn't have cable growing up. Like, I did not have cable in my home until I lived in college. So growing up, it was whatever was on television. I remember really liking All in the Family. The Brady Bunch was a big one. When I was younger, Little House on the Prairie was great.
Yeah. Okay. All right. How would you describe your leadership style?
I try to inspire people to want to do the things that are the best for the firm and for the team as a whole.
Okay. So
leading by example. I know last year we talked a lot on the LMA Southwest Board. We talked a lot about finding our why. I really do think that people do best when they surround themselves with people that think the way that they do. So helping everyone kind of get on board the same train and giving them an opportunity to help push it forward.
I love that. And you are a very hard worker and you definitely led by example when I served on the Southwest Region Board with you when you were president. So awesome. Okay. What is one skill you wish everyone on the planet had?
writing?
Do you mean like grammar or like writing?
I wish that everyone could very concisely communicate in the written word what they are trying to express.
I love it. Okay, that is a good one. All right, what is your favorite luxury indulgence?
It's my eyelashes. I really miss my eyelashes.
What is the latest you've ever stayed at the office?
That's a hard, okay. So in legal marketing, I think the latest mm-hmm. I've ever stayed in the office is probably 1 or 2 in the morning.
Okay.
When I was working in radio and TV, they had a cot.
Got it. What's the longest you've ever been away from your family for work?
Probably 5 days. If anything kind of goes into the weekend or is extended more than that, I try and get them to come and join me.
Yeah. How do you de-stress?
Singing.
Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah.
What is your favorite vacation location?
I think Curacao. I've got to say Curacao is it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It's clean. The water is absolutely turquoise and just stunning.
Where is that place?
It's in the Caribbean.
Okay.
It's a Dutch-owned island in the Caribbean.
Got it. All right. And if domesticated animals were to take over the world, would you rather be ruled by cats or dogs?
Dogs. Cats are not nice.
Not no, nice. They're not. No, they're not.
No.
I love that question.
I recently came across a TED Talk about the origin of cats, and I think I know why. They are basically their same selves as they were 2,000 years ago. So where dogs are a lot more domesticated, cats are basically still wild animals, is what the TED Talk alludes to. So I'm going to send it to you. It's really funny.
Please do.
So Morgan, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today and learning about your new role. Congratulations. I look forward to once again, being able to see you in person and hug you and all the things. So thank you for sharing your wisdom with us, your life hacks and professional tips. Really appreciate it.
Thank you all so much for having me. This has been very fun.
Yay, we love fun.
We appreciate you listening to this episode of The Legal Slant. Check out our website at www.thelegalslant.com, where you can find book and article recommendations made by our fabulous guests. You can also click to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. We want your feedback, so write a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you have a great idea for a topic, email us at Vanessa@thelegalslant.com or Jessica@thelegalslant.com.